This is the reading for March 6th. Psalm 65. God, you will be praised in Jerusalem. We will keep our promises to you. You hear our prayers. All people will come to you. Our guilt overwhelms us, but you forgive our sins. Happy are the people you choose and invite to stay in your court. We are filled with good things in your house, your holy temple. You answer us in amazing ways, God our Savior. People everywhere on the earth and beyond the sea trust you. You made the mountains by your strength. You are dressed in power. You stopped the roaring seas, the roaring waves, and the uproar of the nations. Even those people at the ends of the earth fear your miracles. You are praised from where the sun rises to where it sets. You take care of the land and water it. You make it very fertile. The rivers of God are full of water. Grain grows because you make it grow. You send rain to the plowed fields. You fill the rows with water. You soften the ground with rain, and then you bless it with crops. You give the year a good harvest, and you load the wagons with many crops. The desert is covered with grass, and the hills with happiness. The pastures are full of flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. Everything shouts and sings for joy. Numbers chapter 11. Now the people complained to the Lord about their troubles, and when he heard them, he became angry. Then fire from the Lord burned among the people at the edge of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped burning. So that place was called Taberah, because the Lord's fire had burned among them. Some troublemakers among them wanted better food, and soon all the Israelites began complaining. They said, "We want meat. We remember the fish we ate for free in Egypt. We also had cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic, but now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." The manna was like small white seeds. The people would go to gather it and then grind it in handmills or crush it between stones. After they cooked it in a pot or made cakes with it, it tasted like bread baked with olive oil. When the dew fell on the camp each night, so did the manna. Moses heard every family crying as they stood in the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses got upset. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought me, your servant, this trouble? What have I done wrong that you made me responsible for all these people? I am not the father of all these people, and I didn't give birth to them. Why do you make me carry them to the land you promised to our ancestors? Must I carry them in my arms as a nurse carries a baby? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep crying to me, 'We want meat.' I can't take care of all these people alone. It is too much for me. If you are going to continue doing this to me, then kill me now. If you care about me, put me to death, and then I won't have any more troubles." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's older leaders, men that you know are leaders among the people. Bring them to the meeting tent and have them stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. I will take some of the spirit that is in you, and I will give it to them. They will help you care for the people so that you will not have to care for them alone. Tell the people this, 'Make yourselves holy for tomorrow, and you will eat meat. You cried to the Lord, 'We want meat. We were better off in Egypt.' So now the Lord will give you meat to eat. You will eat it, not just for 1, 2, 5, 10, or even 20 days, but you will eat that meat for a whole month. You will eat it until it comes out your nose, and you will grow to hate it. This is because you have rejected the Lord who is with you. You have cried to him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" Moses said, "Lord, here are 600,000 people standing around me, and you say, 'I will give them enough meat to eat for a month.' If we killed all the flocks and herds, that would not be enough. If we caught all the fish in the sea, that would not be enough." But the Lord said to Moses, "Do you think I'm weak? Now you will see if I can do what I say." So Moses went out to the people and told them what the Lord had said. He gathered 70 of the older leaders together and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. The Lord took some of the spirit Moses had, and he gave it to the 70 leaders. With the spirit in them, they prophesied, but just that one time. Two men named Eldad and Medad were also listed as leaders, but they did not go to the tent. They stayed in the camp, but the Spirit was also given to them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran to Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, said, "Moses, my master, stop them." Ever since he was a young boy, Joshua had been Moses' assistant. But Moses answered, "Are you jealous for me? I wish all the Lord's people could prophesy. I wish the Lord would give his spirit to all of them." Then Moses and the leaders of Israel went back to the camp. The Lord sent a strong wind from the sea, and it blew quail into the area all around the camp. The quail were about 3 feet deep on the ground, and there were quail a day's walk in any direction. The people went out and gathered quail all that day, that night, and the next day. Everyone gathered at least 60 bushels, and they spread them around the camp. But the Lord became very angry, and he gave the people a terrible sickness that came while the meat was still in their mouths. So the people named that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried those who wanted other food. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people went to stay at Hazeroth. Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. He had married a Cushite. They said, "Is Moses the only one the Lord speaks through? Doesn't he also speak through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was very humble. He was the least proud person on earth. So the Lord suddenly spoke to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam and said, "All three of you come to the meeting tent." So they went. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance to the tent. He called to Aaron and Miriam, and they both came near. He said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet is among you, I, the Lord, will show myself to him in visions. I will speak to him in dreams. But this is not true with my servant Moses. I trust him to lead all my people. I speak face to face with him, clearly, not with hidden meanings. He has even seen the form of the Lord. You should be afraid to speak against my servant Moses." The Lord was very angry with them, and he left. When the cloud lifted from the tent and Aaron turned toward Miriam, she was as white as snow. She had a skin disease. Aaron said to Moses, "Please, my master, forgive us for our foolish sin. Don't let her be like a baby who is born dead. Sometimes a baby is born with half of its flesh eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "God, please heal her." The Lord answered Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, she would have been shamed for 7 days. So put her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she may come back." So Miriam was put outside of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she came back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and camped in the desert of Paran.
Chapter 10.
Jesus left there and went into the territory of Judea along the other side of the Jordan River. Crowds gathered around him again, and he taught them as he usually did. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, "Can a husband divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What command did Moses give you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to give his wife a written notice to divorce her." Jesus said to them, "He wrote this command for you because you're heartless. But God made them male and female in the beginning, at creation. That's why a man will leave his father and mother and will remain united with his wife, and the two will be one, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, don't let anyone separate what God has joined together." When they were in a house, the disciples asked him about this. He answered them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman is committing adultery. If a wife divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery." Some people brought little children to Jesus to have him hold them, but the disciples told the people not to do that. When Jesus saw this, he became irritated. He told them, "Don't stop the children from coming to me. Children like these are part of the kingdom of God. I can guarantee this truth, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God as a little child receives it will never enter it." Jesus put his arms around the children and blessed them by placing his hands on them. As Jesus was coming out to the road, a man came running to him and knelt in front of him. He asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: never murder, never commit adultery, never steal, never give false testimony, never cheat, honor your father and mother." The man replied, "Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. He told him, "You're still missing one thing. Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me." When the man heard that, he looked unhappy and went away sad because he owned a lot of property. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for rich people to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were stunned by his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed his disciples more than ever. They asked each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "It's impossible for people to save themselves, but it's not impossible for God to save them. Everything is possible for God." Then Peter spoke up, "We've given everything to follow you." Jesus said, "I can guarantee you this truth. Anyone who gave up his home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or fields because of me and the good news will certainly receive 100 times as much here in this life. They will certainly receive homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields along with persecutions. But in the world to come, they will receive eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus was walking ahead of them. His disciples were shocked that he was going to Jerusalem. The others who followed were afraid. Once again, he took the 12 apostles aside. He began to tell them what was going to happen to him. "We're going to Jerusalem. There the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to foreigners. They will make fun of him, spit on him, whip him, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will come back to life." James and John, sons of Zebedee, went to Jesus. They said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked them. They said to him, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Jesus said, "You don't realize what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to receive?" "We can," they told him. Jesus told them, "You will drink the cup that I'm going to drink. You will be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to receive. But I don't have the authority to grant you a seat at my right or left. Those positions have already been prepared for certain people." When the other 10 apostles heard about it, they were irritated with James and John. Jesus called the apostles and said, "You know that the acknowledged rulers of nations have absolute power over people and their officials have absolute authority over people. But that's not the way it's going to be among you. Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be most important among you will be a slave for everyone. It's the same way with the Son of Man. He didn't come so that others could serve him. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus, his disciples, and many people were leaving Jericho, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people told him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." They called the blind man and told him, "Cheer up, get up, he's calling you." The blind man threw off his coat, jumped up, and went to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see again." Jesus told him, "Go, your faith has made you well." At once he could see again, and he followed Jesus on the road.